The title of the sermon this morning is The Fifth Commandment. The Fifth Commandment. This is in our sermon series on the Ten Commandments, and this is week seven. And I want to start off just by making a statement. Your success in life is determined in large part by your relationship with your parents. Your success in life is determined in large part by your relationship with your parents. If you grow up with a healthy relationship with your parents, honoring your parents, listening to their counsel, respecting their authority, then you're much more likely to grow up happy, healthy, and prosperous. But if you grow up rejecting your parents' authority, and if you grow up rebelling from your parents, and if you grow up thinking your parents are stupid and you're smarter than your parents, resisting your parents, then you are setting yourself up most likely for a life of trouble, a life of hardship. And I'm talking about a lot more hardship than is necessary for you. And so this is why this commandment is so important. Not only does honoring your parents glorify God, but it is so practical for each of us. It really impacts your daily life. It impacts your life. It impacts the family, which is the most important institution in society. And so kids need to know that they're supposed to honor their parents. Parents, you need to know that you're supposed to honor your parents. And you need to know how to teach your kids what it means to honor their parents. In fact, one of the most important things that you can do to teach your kids, as far as discipling them and helping them grow in Christ, is to teach them how to honor their parents, what it means to honor their parents, because that will set them up for so much success in life if they learn how to honor their parents. They really embrace that. So that's what we're talking about this morning. This commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, is so important and so rich that we're going to spend 2 weeks on it. This morning, we're going to answer one question. What does it mean, or how do I honor my parents? What does that look like, practically speaking? How do I honor my parents? Next week, we're going to answer two more questions related to this commandment, and that is, why should I honor my parents? And then second, we're going to talk to parents next week about how we as parents can make it easier for our kids to honor us. Because you can break this commandment not only by dishonoring your parents, but also by making it hard for your kids to honor you. And so we'll talk about that next week. But this morning, how do you honor your parents? What does that look like? Exodus 20:12, it says this: honor your father and your mother, so that you may live, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, before we get into how to honor your parents, let me just make some observations about this text and about this commandment. First of all, the command is to honor your parents. To honor your parents. The Hebrew word for honor is kabed. Kabed. In his book on the Ten Commandments, Mark Rooker, a biblical scholar, he wrote this about that word, kabed. He said, kabed means heavy, weighty, severe, important. Honoring someone, he said, or something, carries the nuance of weighing down with honor or respect. It means to treat someone with the respect and deference that his position deserves. Philip Ryken wrote, to honor one's parents is to give due weight to their position. It is to give them the recognition they deserve for their God-given authority. To honor is to respect, esteem, value, and prize fathers and mothers as gifts from God. So to honor someone, in a nutshell, is to treat them as if they are very valuable, very important. Now, we are actually supposed to honor everyone. Every person that you meet, you are supposed to honor them just because they are a human being made in the image of God. You're supposed to treat each and every person with dignity, like they are valuable, like they are important. But there are certain individuals that you're supposed to esteem even more highly in a special sense. And your parents fall into that category. You are supposed to treat your parents like they are extremely valuable, extremely important. You are to prize them, to treasure your parents. That's what it means to honor your parents. Second observation. Fathers, I want you to notice, fathers are mentioned first. And that's not an accident. God's word is not an accident. God puts things a certain way on purpose. Fathers are mentioned first, indicating their role of leadership in the home. Let me challenge fathers just a little bit. In the New Testament, it says that the husband, in Ephesians 5, it says that husbands are the leaders of their wives, the head of their wives, meaning the head of their homes. In this passage, putting fathers before mothers, honor your father and your mother, indicates or implies that the fathers are also in charge of their children. We also see this in Ephesians 6:4, where it says, fathers, train up your children. It doesn't say fathers and mothers. It says, fathers, train up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It just goes directly to fathers. The point that I want to make is that fathers should be highly involved in raising their children, not just providing for their children. Many men in our society simply have reduced their role to that of provision. I'm just here to provide for my family, make sure my wife has the money she needs so that she can put food on the table, clothes on their back, she can buy them whatever they need. I'm just here to provide. But the Bible says that fathers have a much more important role than that. Fathers are supposed to be very, very involved in actually raising up the kids. And the reason why is because there are unique ways that fathers and mothers add value to a child's life. There are things that a child needs from both a mother and a father. There are things that a child needs from a father that a mother cannot give, and things that a child needs from its mother that a father cannot give. A child needs both. Mothers, for example, are very, and this is a generality, mothers are very nurturing. They're very encouraging. They're very comforting. They're very sympathetic and compassionate and patient. And children need that because children are works in progress. They're still growing. Their hands are little. Their little minds don't know very much yet. Their legs and their arms are short. They can't reach very far. They can't move very fast. Their muscles are small. Their willpower is weak. Their wisdom is limited. Children need a mother's nurturing, compassionate, patient, sympathetic, soft love. They need that. Fathers, on the other hand, tend to be different. There was an article written in the Wall Street Journal by Abigail Schreier, and I thought it was very, very accurate. She wrote this about herself. She said, when my 7-year-old twin boys were first learning to play piano, I would check with them regularly to see if they were still enjoying it. It's a mother. Finally, their teacher, a Russian woman who was evidently unfamiliar with the fashionable theories of child rearing, told me that if I wanted my kids to learn an instrument, I needed to cut it out. Some weeks, said the Russian teacher, they won't like it. So what? Stop asking. And so this woman, Abigail Schreier, was describing the typical style of parenting of mothers. Very encouraging, nurturing, very, very soothing and soft. It errs on the side of being too soft. It's the way women are. It's the gift that they have in general. And this is the reason why children need a father and a mother. She goes up to describe a father's style of parenting with two phrases. Knock it off. Shake it off. That's dad-style parenting. Knock it off, shake it off. She says this about the statement, knock it off. When a dad-style parent says, knock it off, it's the child's job to figure out the precise behaviors from which to desist. Accepting the definitive knowledge of what and why might never come. The pestering touch of persons and things, drumming of fingers and clicking of tongues, ululating and whinings, each on its own, might not be grounds for punishment, but together they can drive an adult to madness all the same. Discipline, she says, socializes children. They become tolerable to those who don't already love them. That's what a dad does. You know, it's one of the most important things you can do for your kids is make them likable. And if you spoil your kids and you don't discipline them, then you may love them, but everybody else that they meet in life will hate them. And so this is what a dad does. Dads are rough, challenging. And then she writes about the statement, shake it off. She says, children need to be told that when they exercise a minor fall, a minor unserious injury, when they have a disappointment, they need to move on. They need to keep playing. They need to keep moving. Knock it off and shake it off. Fathers tend to err on being a little too hard. But fathers, the point is, need to be involved. They need to be involved in raising their kids. Their kids need that fatherly style of parenting. Now, the fact that fathers are mentioned first, by the way, also implies that fathers are ultimately going to be held responsible for their children. Mothers, too, they have some responsibility there, too, but ultimately the buck stops here with dads. And so, listen, there's only so much you can control as a father when it comes to your kids. You cannot control them in every way, especially as they get older. You cannot control whether or not they follow Christ. You cannot control everything about them. But God will not hold you responsible for the end result, but He will hold you responsible for the input. He will hold us responsible as men for whether or not we did everything we could have done to raise godly men and women from our homes. Number three, here's a third observation from the text. Mothers must be honored too. Mothers must be honored too. Parenting, of course, isn't just the duty of fathers. The father and mother must work together as a team. That's why it says, children, honor your father and your mother. Children are not allowed to play favorites. Kids can't obey dad when he's home, but then when he leaves, they can just go crazy for mom. No, you got to honor your father and your mother. And this is a reminder that fathers and mothers need to work together and they need to come to an agreement about the standards that they're trying to uphold in their homes. For example, if a mother says, child, I want you to stop saying that word. It's a rude, crude, bad word. But then the father says the word all the time. And whenever the kid says it, the father laughs it off, says, this is so cute. It's going to be hard to raise that child right. And it's going to be hard for that child to honor their parents if the parents are not in agreement about the standards that they're calling the child to. Number four, a fourth observation. The fifth commandment rules out same-sex parenting. It rules out same-sex parenting. LGBTQ advocates would like us to believe that two fathers are just as good as a father and a mother. Two mothers are just as good as a father and a mother. But the Bible's very, very clear, so is nature, that what a child needs is a father and a mother. And you see this throughout Scripture. God makes it clear that the model family is a father and a mother working together to raise their children. Genesis 2:24, all the way back to the beginning. It says, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. You have father and mother, man and wife. Proverbs 6:20, it says, my son, keep your father's command and don't reject your mother's teaching. Children need a father and a mother. Every child deserves a father and a mother who are present, who are attentive, and who model godliness and biblical marriage. Again, there are needs that only a father can meet, needs that only a mother can meet. And this also implies, when it says, honor your father and your mother, it also implies that single parenthood is not adequate. Now, there are a lot of wonderful, godly Christian singles, single parents, who are doing the best that they can. But it must be stated that you need to, those of you who are married with children, you need to protect your marriage as much as possible, because your children are far better off with a mother and a father who love each other and who are both working together to raise the children. And the world would have you believe that that's not the case, that a kid doesn't need a traditional family. Simply not the truth. There's so much research out there that shows kids need a married mom and dad. That's what they need. The best environment is for a child to live with a father and mother who are in a committed Christian marriage. Number five, the fifth observation, is that this is the first of the social commandments. If you remember, this is the first of the social commandments. If you remember, the Ten Commandments are often broken up into two tables. Commandments 1-4 are the first table, and those commandments have to do with, anybody know? Your relationship with God. They're spiritual. They have to do with your relationship with God. They teach us how to love God. Remember, all the Ten Commandments are about love. It's about loving God and loving others. That's the summary of the Ten Commandments. The first four are about how to love God. The second six, that's the second table. Numbers 5 through 10, those are about how to love your neighbor. And the very first of those social commandments is not don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal. The very first one is honor your father and your mother. It's the first of the social commandments. And that signifies its importance. Why is it the very first social commandment? Well, the reason why is because God expects parents to teach their children to love God and to follow the Ten Commandments. And so if a child would just start by honoring its father and mother, then it would by default be following all of the other commandments. If you can just get your child's parents to honor you, then they will grow up to follow Christ. They will grow up to be a good, successful person, because by honoring you, they're also going to be following your advice and following all of your other commands. And so that's why it's so important as well. The first relationship in life that a person has is their relationship with their parents. And so if a person learns how to relate well with their parents, then they're going to learn to relate well with everybody else in life. But the opposite is also true. Number six, the sixth observation, the fifth commandment is unconditional. This is important. Honoring your father and mother is unconditional. In other words, you don't honor your father and mother only whenever you think they deserve to be honored, only when you think that they are respectable or honorable. You don't just honor your parents whenever you like what they're telling you to do, or whenever you think that they're being nice, or whenever you think that they're treating you well. You honor your parents unconditionally. You honor them like a soldier does in the military. You respect the rank. You salute the uniform. It's not so much whether or not you like that person. It's about the position that they're in. And a parent is in the God-given position of authority over you. They're your parents. And so you honor them. You respect them regardless of how they've treated you. This is the way it works in all relationships, by the way. Whenever the Bible says in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church, that's an unconditional command, right? Husbands don't get the option of when to love their wives. They're to love their wives unconditionally, rather, even if their wives are unlovely, even if their wives aren't very lovable, even if their wives aren't meeting their emotional needs and physical needs, even if their wives aren't taking care of the house or whatever agreement they've come to, you're to love your wife unconditionally. The same thing goes for wives. Wives, submit to your husbands in everything as to the Lord. That's an unconditional command. You don't just submit to your husband whenever he's being good to you. When you agree with his leadership, when he's a good provider, you submit to your husband unconditionally, and that's what kids do. Kids, you submit to your parents. You honor your parents unconditionally. Honor them because they're your parents, not because of their behavior. Number seven, a seventh observation, the fifth commandment has no age limit. It has no age limit. At what age do you stop honoring your parents? Never. Pastor Mark Driscoll had a wonderful quote. He said, "You are a child for a little while, but you are someone's child forever." You're a child for a little while, but you're someone's child forever. And so the way that you honor your parents, what that looks like, changes over time as you grow older. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But the commandment to honor your parents never subsides. It never goes away. You never outgrow it. And finally, the eighth observation is that the fifth commandment is taken by God very, very seriously. This is a very, very serious command to the Lord. I want you to notice the original penalties that were doled out for those who broke the fifth commandment. Exodus 21:17 says, "Whoever curses his father or mother must be put to death." Deuteronomy 27:16, "The one who dishonors his father or mother is cursed." Deuteronomy 21:18-21, it says, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father or mother and doesn't listen to them even after they discipline him, his father and mother are to take hold of him and bring him to the elders of the city, to the gate of his hometown. They will say to the elders of this city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He doesn't obey us. He's a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his city will stone him to death. You must purge the evil from you. And all Israel will hear and be afraid." The idea was that if you've got young men or young women who are rebellious to their parents, if they do not respect the authority of their parents, they're not going to respect the authority of anybody. and it's going to corrupt and pollute society. And we see that in America today, don't we? All right. How do you honor your parents? Let me help you get practical. What does it mean to honor your parents? Kids, y'all listen up, and that includes all of us. Number one, obey them. Number one is obey them. Obey your parents. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Thomas Watson, the great Puritan preacher, said, a child should be the parent's echo. When the father speaks, the child should echo back obedience. What is proper obedience? What is real, godly, God-honoring obedience look like? Well, first of all, obedience must be immediate. Obedience must be immediate. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And so when your parents tell you to do something, you don't wait till they count to three. When your parents tell you to do something, you hop up immediately. And I've told you that story about how I noticed that time. It just dawned on me one day. In my family, whenever the phone rings in the house, my children stop what they're doing. They jump up and they run to the phone to see the caller ID, see who's calling. They just like to get excited when we get a phone call. And one day it dawned on me, I said, you know what? That's what obedience is supposed to look like. Right when your parents give you an order, you're to stop what you're doing, jump up and sprint into action to obey them. That's godly obedience. As well, proper obedience must be respectful. Whenever you obey your parents, you do it with a good attitude. You don't complain or argue. Whenever your parents give you an order, you obey with a good attitude. When should you obey your parents? You obey your parents whenever they give you a direct order. You can tell the difference between a suggestion and a command. When your parents give you a direct order, you must obey as well. You obey your parents even when you don't want to. You obey your parents even if they tell you to do something that you don't like. For example, let's say your parents say, clean your room. You don't want to clean your room. Doesn't matter. You obey your parents. Your parents tell you to go to bed. You don't want to go to bed. You want to stay up. Doesn't matter. You obey your parents even when you don't want to. As well, when should you obey your parents? You obey with them even when you disagree. Even when your parents tell you to do something that you disagree with. For example, if your dad tells you to go wash the car, and your dad tells you, as many fathers do, how to wash the car. He tells you to wash the car in a certain way. And you're much smarter than your dad. And so you're thinking, man, I could have, you know, there's a much better way to do this, dad. It doesn't matter. If you disagree with your dad, you obey his orders. You wash the car just like he told you to wash the car. That's proper obedience as well. You must obey your parents as long as your parents do not command you to disobey God. That's really the only time that you don't obey your parents. And that's if they're asking you to do something unbiblical or sinful or dishonoring to God. It's the only time that you don't obey your parents. And then you also obey your parents until you move out of the house. That's a good benchmark. You always honor your parents, but you don't necessarily obey them for the rest of your life. You're not under your parents' authority. A good way to look at it is, as long as you're under your parents' roof, then you live under their authority. You obey them, unless you're a 40-year-old living with your parents and you've come to some kind of agreement that, you know, I'm no longer under your authority. That probably needs to be clearly stated. But whenever you move out, then you're not under your parents' authority, but you still have to honor them. Number two, second way to honor your parents is to respect them. To respect them. Honoring your parents begins with obedience, but it goes way beyond obedience, as we're going to see. It starts with obedience. It involves respect. Respect is really another word for honor. Honor means deep, deep respect. Treat your parents, remember, as if they are very valuable, as if they are very important. Prize them, treasure them. Leviticus 19:3 says, each of you is to respect his mother and father. How do you respect your parents? First of all, you respect them with your attitude. That's very, very important. Respect your parents with your attitude. That means, again, don't complain or argue. You should never complain or argue with your parents. Philippians 2:14 says this to all Christians in all situations. It says, do everything without complaining and arguing. Don't give your parents the evil eye. Don't give your parents the cold shoulder. Don't roll your eyes at your parents. Don't make the sound, you know, the tsk sound. Don't make the frustrated sigh sound. When your parents tell you to do something, don't go. Obviously, I'm good at these. Another way to respect your parents is to respect them with your body language. Leviticus 19:32 says, you are to rise in the presence of the elderly and honor the old. Fear your God. I am the Lord. You're to rise in the presence of the elderly. That's just basically an example of the fact that we are to respect our parents and the elderly with our body language. King Solomon exemplified this with his mother Bathsheba. She came to see him one time. 1 Kings 2:19, it says, so Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him about Adonijah. The king stood up to greet her, bowed to her, sat down on his throne, and had a throne placed for the king's mother. She sat down at his right hand. He showed great honor to his mother with his actions, with his body language. And so let everything, a child should let everything about their body language communicate respect and honor to their parents. Another way to respect your parents is with your words, and this may be the most practical and the most important. Always speak to your parents with the utmost respect. It doesn't matter how old you are. Always speak to your parents with the utmost respect. Proverbs 20:20 says, whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will go out in deep darkness. That means don't say anything disrespectful about your parents, either to their face or behind their back. Don't raise your voice at your parents. Don't holler and scream at your parents. Don't use words that are offensive to your parents. You know, every parent has a different word or a series of words that they disapprove of, that they don't want their kids to say. Most of us in here agree about four or five of them, but then each parent has their own words as well. Let me give you a list. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to give you a list of those. But you know what those are, kids. You know what those particular words that your mom does not want you to say, your dad doesn't want you to say, you need to not say those words. Respect your parents with your words. Another way to respect your parents is to respect their responsibility to discipline you. Respect your parents' responsibility to discipline you. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despises his father's discipline, but a person who accepts correction is sensible, smart, wise. Recognize, kids, that the Bible commands your parents to discipline you whenever you need it. And that means they're to rebuke you. That means they're to fuss at you. They're to correct you verbally whenever you go wrong, whenever you do something wrong or idiotic. Your parents are to say, stop that. Don't do that. That's wrong. That's foolish. That's bad behavior. Stop. That's a rebuke. But then if that doesn't work, they're also called to use the rod on you, corporal punishment, to spank you. And so if your parents, kids, do not discipline you, they are being disobedient to God. And so respect your parents' responsibility to discipline you. Be glad, be thankful. You will be much better off for it, for having parents who love you enough and are strong enough to discipline you. And then one more thing, one more way to respect your parents is by not harming them. This one should be so obvious, but it's not. Don't harm your parents. You should never steal from your parents, and you should never physically injure your parents. Proverbs 28:24 says, the one who robs his father or mother and says that's no sin is a companion to a person who destroys. Exodus 21:15 says, whoever strikes his father or his mother must be put to death. Number three, third way to honor your parents, strive to please them. Strive to please them. Whether you're a kid or an adult, you should strive to please your parents. You should strive to make them proud. Don't do things that would upset them. Do things that would make them worry about you, staying up all night concerned about you. Don't disappoint them. Now, sometimes you have to, because you're called to honor God before you're called to honor your parents. And you're called to honor your spouse before you're called to honor your parents. But other than that, do your very best to please your parents. Look at Proverbs 10:1. It says, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son, heartache to his mother. strive to bring your parents joy. Leviticus 19:3 says, ye shall fear, this is in the King James Version, ye shall fear every man, his mother, and his father. The Bible says to actually fear your father and your mother. Now, what does that mean, to fear your parents? Phil Johnson explains this well. He says, there is a proper fear of parents, not a craven fear, but an awe and admiration, a healthy respect whereby, listen to this, a healthy respect whereby we fear their displeasure. It is deeply caring about pleasing them. We tremble at the thought of dishonoring them. So that's what it means to fear your parents. You tremble at the thought of displeasing them and disappointing them. You should strive to please your parents. We should care about what our parents think. We should not have the attitude of, what's my life? I can do whatever I want. I don't care what she thinks about it. I don't care what my dad says about it. We shouldn't have that attitude with our parents. With other people, sometimes that's appropriate. But with your parents, you should deeply care about what your parents think and how you make your parents feel with your actions and with your words and with your behavior. I have a friend who got saved as an adult, and this has probably been about 20 years ago that he got saved. And he's actually a, Scott, you know him, he's a history professor at UL Lafayette. And he grew up Roman Catholic, and then he got saved and became a Baptist. And to this day, he still hasn't told his mom and dad. His mom and dad are real old. They're still alive. But to this day, he still hasn't told his mom and dad that he's no longer Roman Catholic. Still hadn't told them that he has defected from the faith. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that. I never told him. That's a good idea. I don't necessarily agree with that. That's between him and the Lord. But I appreciate his attitude toward his parents, because he knows if he told his mom and dad that he left the Roman Catholic faith, it would crush him. It would crush their spirit. They would feel like failures as parents, and they would worry about his soul going to hell for eternity. And so he's chosen to respect and honor his parents by not telling them that he's no longer Roman Catholic. Now, again, I don't necessarily tell you to do that, but I appreciate his attitude of honoring his parents. Here's a fourth way to honor your parents. Be honest and open with them. Be honest and open with them. Two ways that a lot of kids dishonor their parents is, number one, by lying to them, and number two, by not being open with their parents, by not letting their parents into their life to let them know really what they're feeling, really what they're thinking, really what they're doing when they're not with their parents. Many kids live double lives. Some of you did this when you were a teenager. They live a double life, and so when they're with their parents, they act one way, but when they're away from their parents, they act completely different. It's a completely different life that their parents don't know about. And that isn't right. God has given parents the responsibility of caring for you and discipling you and raising you to follow the Lord, but your parents cannot do that effectively if they don't know you. Your parents need to know what's going on with you. This, by the way, is one of the benefits of homeschooling. It's one of the benefits of family integrated church. We're all in here together. You get to know your kids better. You get to know what's going on with them. You don't have to wonder what your kids are doing in that other class. They're right here with us. And you can get a look over them. Now, kids, you can't give your parents the evil eye, but parents, you can give your kids the evil eye all you want. When they're misbehaving in church, you can just look over and give them the look. Erwin Lutzer tells the story of how farmers used to place duck eggs under a hen that was sitting on eggs. And the hen didn't know any better, of course. And so when the eggs hatched, the hen took care of the little ducklings just as she took care of her little baby chicks. But eventually, whenever they would take a walk and go toward the water, well, the little ducklings would sprint to the water and jump in, and then the mother hen, she would just go crazy. She would think they're dying, you know, they're going to get killed because little chicks don't jump in the water like that. And so Dr. Lutzer says this is the way it is with a lot of parents. A lot of parents have no idea what their kids are really doing until one day they see their kids act out in some way, and the parents are just shocked, and they're totally surprised to find out their kids have been living a whole nother life in secret. Don't do that. Honor your parents by letting them into your world. Open up to them. Tell them what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you're struggling with, what you want. Be honest and open. Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Number five, fifth way to honor your parents, make them a priority in your life. Make them a priority in your life. This is especially true about adult children. Many people essentially abandon their parents whenever they graduate from high school. I have a friend, several friends that have done this. They graduate to high school. Many times they'll move away to college, and then that's it. They're pretty much out of their parents' life. They don't call. They don't visit. They don't write. They don't answer the phone or call back. They don't celebrate birthdays or holidays with their parents or anniversaries. They don't even visit. They have much more important things to do than to hang out with their parents. That's completely dishonoring. Make your parents a priority in your life. Your parents want to enjoy you, and they want to do life with you, and they want your friendship as you get older and as they get older. They want your companionship, and they want to share life with you, and they want to be involved in your life. Your parents want you to call, and they want you to visit, and they want you to celebrate holidays and birthdays and special occasions with them. And your parents deserve that. That's their right as parents. And so don't just include your parents in your life. Make them a priority in your life. Treat them as very important and very valuable. Number six, sixth way to honor your parents, seek their counsel. Seek their counsel. When you move out of your parents' home, you no longer have to obey their counsel, but you always need to seek their counsel. Seek their counsel whenever you're making big decisions like what college to go to, what to major in, and what job to choose. And the most important one, seek your parents' counsel when it comes to the choice of a mate, who you're going to marry. And I think there are two big reasons, kids, why you need to seek not only your parents' counsel, but get your parents' blessing in your choice of a mate. Two big reasons. The first one is that your parents are much smarter than you. Your parents have seen so much. They have so much experience, so much perspective. And so your parents love you so much. And so if your parents are strongly against the person that you want to marry, then that should send up huge, big, bright red flags for you. If nothing else, that should cause you to pause things for a while, slow things down. Because if the people who love you the most are strongly against this person that you want to marry, don't do it. As well, another reason why you should seek your parents' counsel in the choice of your mate is because your spouse is going to be your parents' son-in-law or daughter-in-law. And it's going to be your spouse is going to be the father or the mother of your parents' grandchildren. In other words, your choice of a spouse is going to heavily impact your parents, big time. They deserve some input into this decision. And so seek your parents' blessing. This is one of the things that Lydia and I did right. Lydia and I didn't begin dating without both of our parents' permission. And then we didn't get engaged without both of our parents' permission. And then we did something different at our wedding. You know, Lydia, she really likes to go think outside of the box. So we didn't have bridesmaids and groomsmen because we wanted to honor our parents. So what we did was behind me, there were two chairs for my mom and dad. As I stood up there, there was a chair for my mom and dad. And then behind Lydia, there was a chair for her mom and dad. And the picture that we were trying to paint was that this was not only the joining of a man and a woman, but it was the joining of two families. And it was also the proud adoption of Lydia into my family. And it was the proud adoption of me into Lydia's family. We wanted to just honor our parents that way. And so seek your parents' counsel. Number seven. Let them enjoy their grandchildren. This is another way to honor your parents. Let them enjoy their grandchildren. Proverbs 17:6 says, grandchildren are the crown of the elderly, and the pride of children is their fathers. I've seen adult children who keep their kids away from the grandparents. And that's just heartbreaking. That's so sinful, so dishonoring. Family is one of the greatest blessings in life. Marriage, children, grandchildren, best stuff of life. And so whenever you withhold your kids from grandparents, it's one of the most heinous crimes that you can commit. Not only is it cruel, by the way, to grandparents, but it's cruel to the grandkids. Grandparents are such a blessing to grandkids. Such a blessing. I love to send my kids over to my parents' house. Just love it. Not because I'm trying to get rid of the kids, but I just love it because I know how much my kids bless my parents, and I also know how much my parents bless my kids. And so we go just about every Sunday afternoon. We go as a family and spend the afternoon at my parents' house. And because I like to spend time with my parents, but my parents like to spend time with the kids, and my kids like to spend time with them. And so I bless my parents in that way. Also, every Thursday, we send some of our kids, every Thursday afternoon, we send some of our kids to my parents' house. And my mom gives the girls sewing lessons, and my dad gives the boys woodworking lessons. And Lydia cannot teach the girls sewing lessons. I cannot teach the boys woodworking lessons. I can teach them to prepare a sermon, which they're not interested in at this point. So my dad can teach them all kind of cool stuff that I can't teach them. But what's also wonderful is that my parents believe the same thing that I do. I believe the same thing they do about Jesus. And so when I send my kids to my parents, they are reinforcing everything that I'm teaching them about God and about life. And so kids, that's a reminder. Don't just marry a spouse. Marry their parents. In other words, whenever you're looking for a spouse, be very picky about that person's parents. You know, there was a girl who was very, very interested in me, chasing me before Lydia and I got together. Lydia knows this girl, doesn't really like the subject of this girl. She was really chasing me. And as I was getting to know this girl, we're getting closer to starting a relationship, I found out about her parents. I said, tell me about your parents. And she told me simply that her parents were not in church. And that was enough for me to break off the relationship. Because I knew that's going to be my in-laws. That's going to be my kids' grandparents. It's people who don't go to church. And I did not want that for my kids. That was a wonderful, wonderful decision. So that's not always the way God will lead you, but think about it. Number eight. Eighth way to honor your parents, care for them in their old age. This may be one of the most obvious and most practical ways to honor your parents. Care for them in their old age. According to the Bible, it's the responsibility of kids and grandkids to care for the elderly. It's not the responsibility of the government nor the church. The government and the church are there to provide a safety net for the elderly who do not have family to care for them. Elderly people who have family to care for them but who are not caring for them, those people are in sin and are to be disciplined by the church. In some countries, it's illegal for you to not take care of your parents in their old age. Now, this is no longer a universal value in society. It used to be. Everybody just knew you take care of your parents whenever they get old. 50% of Americans believe that it's not the responsibility of the children to take care of their parents. 50%. Philosopher Jane English said that, what do grown children owe their parents? I will contend that the answer is nothing. We have learned mutuality. We have learned that the responsibility of the parents should earn the friendship of their children. And parents who do not earn the friendship of their children deserve no mutuality. Pastor Erwin Lutzer, he was in a nursing home one time and he had a conversation with the director and he said, how many of the residents have relatives or friends that visit with some degree of regularity? And the director said, only 30%. 70% of the people in the nursing home have nobody coming to see them. They're just alone. Kids, grandkids have just abandoned them, forgotten about them. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 through 4, and then verse 8 and 16, it says, support widows who are genuinely in need. This is talking to Pastor Timothy. He's saying the church needs to support those widows who are genuinely in need. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them learn to practice godliness toward their own family first and to repay their parents, for this pleases God. But if anyone does not provide for his own family, in other words, if you don't take care of your parents and grandparents, especially for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If any believing woman has widows in her family, let her help them. Let the church not be burdened so that it can help widows in genuine need. Same could be said about the government. You should be taking care of your parents rather than putting that burden on the church and on the government. So hopefully whenever your parents are older, they can live with you when they can no longer take care of themselves. But if they have to be put into a nursing home, Christian kids should be the most frequent visitors and the most active and attentive and affectionate children at those nursing homes. All right, so as your parents get older, take care of them. Step in and do their yard, wash their cars, take them shopping, and keep including them in your life. Two more. Let's do these quickly. Number nine, how do you honor your parents? Be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, because the closer you grow to Christ and the more mature you are as a Christian, obviously by default, the better child you're going to be. The more you're going to honor your parents, the better you're going to be at loving your parents. As well, if you're a devoted follower of Christ and your parents have the peace of knowing that you're going to heaven and that you're going to train up their grandchildren to fear the Lord. And so godly grandparents, what they want more than anything is for their kids to know Christ and follow Jesus. You know, I'm one of five boys. I have four big brothers. And what my parents want more than anything is for us to follow Jesus so that we can go to heaven for eternity with them. Proverbs 23:24 says, "The father of a righteous son will rejoice greatly, and one who fathers a wise son will delight in him." Number 10, last way to honor your parents, treat them the way you would want to be treated. When all else fails, there's so many different scenarios that cannot be discussed in one sermon with your parents. When all else fails, if you're not sure how to treat your parents, follow the golden rule. Treat your parents the way you would want to be treated if you were in their place, if you were in their shoes. Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, "Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them, for this is the law and the prophets." Treat your parents the way that you want to be treated whenever you're their age. So here's what the Heidelberg Catechism says about honoring your parents. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? "That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. That I submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them, God chooses to rule us." So let me close with just a few questions, rhetorical questions for reflection. Does your relationship with your father and mother bring glory to God? Do you ever talk back to your parents? Do you ever hide anything from your parents? Do you ever silently curse your parents? Do you always speak well of your parents? Are you taking the time to strengthen your relationship with your parents? Are you giving your parents the care they need and the honor they deserve for their position in your life?